The text for our meditation this morning is taken from John's Gospel, the third chapter, beginning at verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. There are times in this life when you just can't help but feel like a number. Maybe it's when you realize that your social security number would be unique even if there were a billion people in this country. Or maybe it's when you're sitting on hold with customer service and you feel like you're being treated like you're just one little insignificant person among the millions of customers that they have. Or maybe it's when you Google your name and you realize that there are a lot of people out there that have the same name that you do. Just a quick personal aside, when I was a student at Purdue University, there were 14 Michael Smiths on campus. 14. I got to the point that if I were walking around on campus, I didn't even turn around if someone called out my name. Feeling like a number. Maybe you also feel a little bit like a number when you hear the beginning of that very familiar Bible verse, "For God so loved the world." Yes, that part of the verse expresses how broad God's love is, that he would love the entire world. But it doesn't necessarily make us feel very special. I mean, I'm just one among billions of people that have lived or do live on this planet, right? We're not all that special. And then the first verse of our text for today, John 3:17, doesn't really help that matter much. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Couldn't we, again, be overlooked somehow, that we're just some inconsequential, solitary speck of life on this planet? Or are we all that unimportant? Now, hopefully you already know the answer to that question. And what Jesus tells us in this text for today is that he came to save the world one person at a time. And it's very obvious that this world needs saving. From the time that Adam and Eve first brought sin into the world has been on a very steep decline. We're so far removed in time and in experience from what Adam and Eve experienced in the garden that we have a hard time imagining what that was like. Perfect weather. None of this frigid Minnesota stuff. Perfect interaction with all creatures. No Minnesota State birds buzzing around our head looking for a place to bite. Perfect relationships. What did Adam and Eve fight about? Nothing. Thousands of years removed from the garden, we definitely see that the effects of sin have compounded. We put up with all sorts of bad weather, cold, heat, hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards. We fight to protect ourselves from all kinds of creatures, from bugs, from bears, from backyard dogs. Our relationships, well, we get into arguments about the silliest of things, sometimes even escalating to the point of violence. So yes, this world needs saving. It needs to be rescued from the effects of sin that have been building up since that first time Adam and Eve listened to Satan instead of to God. That's why Paul says in Romans, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And that's why Jesus came to this world, to save it, to redeem it, to rescue it from the effects of sin, to redeem it and buy it back from the sin that held it captive so that it too could be restored. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to save the world. But what about us? What about you? What about me? Each one of us individually. Jesus didn't come into this world just to save it by blanketing it with salvation, lumping us all together as if we had no individuality at all. Jesus saves you in particular. He who believes in him is not condemned. Every one of you, every individual one of you who believes in Jesus, who trusts in him as your Savior, is saved, is not condemned. Which must mean that we were supposed to be eternally condemned in the first place. Now, that's not something that we like to hear. It's much easier to moan and complain about all of the problems that are going on in this world, all of the wars and rumors of wars and the natural disasters, the governments that we don't like, the violence in the streets, and so on and so on. But we don't like to hear about our part in that mess that we call life. We may not be part of the violence in the streets, but aren't we just as violent when we lash out with our angry words at our roommate or our spouse or our child? We may not like everything that our government does, but are we doing everything that we can to fulfill our vocation of citizen? And what about your relationship with God, the one who created you? Or with Jesus, the one whom he sent to save you? On your own, you're sunk. He who does not believe in is condemned already because he has not believed in the Son, the only begotten Son of God. You have no power in and of yourself to believe, to trust in Jesus, because on your own, you're spiritually dead. But Jesus came to save the world, including you. You're not just a random, faceless, anonymous lump of clay that God fashioned into a person haphazardly. God chose you before time even began. Think of that for a moment. Before time began, God chose you to be saved. Paul wrote, God chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. That was before time began. And then in time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent Jesus. He sent him to live, to die, to rise from the dead for you. Jesus lived for you. He lived a perfect life without ever sinning because you can't and because God says you must. And then Jesus died in your place, taking your sins to the cross so that you don't have to pay that penalty to God. And then to show that he had conquered sin and death and the devil, and to show his power, that he had the power to raise you from the dead, he himself rose from the dead. And then again, in time, in your time, God made you one of his children. He washed you clean in your baptism, taking away all of the sins that separated you from him. And he created faith. He created trust in you, trust in Jesus as your Savior. And think of how many times that scenario has been played out throughout history. Think of how many times that scenario has been played out just among the people here today. Yes, this world is a mess. Your life without Jesus is a mess. But Jesus came to fix all of that. Jesus came to save the world. But he does that one person at a time, one important, unique individual at a time, including you. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Dearest Savior, as we await your coming at the end of the world, we give thanks to you for your first coming, when you came to this world to save us. Lost in our sins, we had no hope of anything but death, and eternal death at that. But through your amazing work in our behalf, you have made us part of your Heavenly Father's family, children of God, brothers and sisters of you, our Savior. Eternal praises be to you for coming to save us. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.